Then I was elected the first black woman to be elected a district attorney in the state of California, wow. San Francisco, and the first African-American ever elected as an attorney general.
Yes, because yes. you are
yes.
idiot.
Yes.
Okay, and I don't know that everybody knows that.
You only say what is untrue. You are a master falsifier. When somebody fact-checks you, like a chameleon, you change your attire.
Kamala's a big fat liar. Kamala's a big fat liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
The time for cackling is through. Biden's condition is dire. Now the party turns to you. It's time to claim what you desire.
Yo.
Kamala's a big fat liar. Kamala's a big fat liar.
We're on, yeah, so go ahead and talk.
Liar, liar,
yeah.
Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. This is Kamala's a Big Fat Liar. Brian Coyne, C-O-Y-N-E on YouTube. A parody of, Jim Morrison, The Doors.
Yes.
Yes.
The Doors.
And, Light My Fire.
Light My Fire.
Very good song. Coach was giving me a hard time saying we don't get on Kamala's case enough. Well, there you go.
Pants on fire.
Totally.
Welcome to the show. We're on Radioslot.com, coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Thank you for listening wherever you are. We talk about everything and anything on the show, and if you're not offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
I'm Brian Drake. He's Coach to my right, and your left, we have Ziggy. No Scott today. He's out for a little while. And lots of stuff going on today.
He's really on the run now.
He is. Yeah.
Did he join Just Stop Oil? Is that where he's at?
Allegedly, yeah. Oil? He's going to glue his hand to some pavement somewhere and deface some priceless artwork. And, I got to fix my microphone here. All right, I think that'll do it. He's going to be busy for a while, and I'm sure he'll come back and have all kinds of neat stories to tell us.
Yay.
Anyway, speaking of stories, a California bill requires speed limit alarms in cars. That's heading to the governor. More entertainment zones in San Francisco. Mayor Breed says the city's just getting started. And I love that, you can't go into San Francisco without getting robbed, raped, or have some sort of calamity befall you. So they create these sectioned off entertainment zones where you can go and not experience those things. Young people taking over the workplace, and that's a problem for bosses. Young adults also having a mental health crisis. And San Francisco becomes first in the nation to ban the use of AI algorithmic tools to set rent prices. So those are the new things. A couple of things carried over from the last few weeks that we haven't gotten to yet, and whatever else comes up. How are you guys?
Life is good.
All right.
Doing well, a little bummed. You're back to work today. I go back tomorrow.
Yeah. My vacation is over. Yeah, it was too fast.
Very good.
But that's the way it is. Next time I'm going to have to ask for 2 weeks.
Mm.
So we'll see how that goes. Anybody got a crazy on the way to start us off? I see a lot of shaking heads here. What is that? Has anybody not been out of the house lately?
I've been on vacation. In the house.
In the house.
Too hot.
Yeah, no, crazy on the way for me. Other than, as I was just saying, the Cybertruck just is, it's better every day.
Yeah, okay.
Every day. I like it more and more. The more I drive it, the more I love it.
So my wife and I went to the library on last Saturday, and she wanted to visit the bookstore there because they had her sister is pregnant with twins, so she's always looking for stuff to buy the twins. And she said there was a book there that she saw, didn't buy the first time she was there, and hoped it was still there, so we had to go back. And while she's looking for the book, which had sold since she should have bought it the first time, You know, we're looking around for other things, and the older lady that was running the bookstore there was playing some 50s and 50s music. You know, we had Little Richard, you keep on knocking, but you can't come in, Happy Birthday Baby, you know, just classics of that era that you would think everybody knows. So then this other girl comes in, and she's looking around, listens to the music, and says to the lady, "What is it that you're playing?" And I'm like, "Oh, my God, I can only hear the voices at this point." And the lady running the shop says, "Well, this is a CD of 50s and 60s. And the other lady goes, "Well, this is really nice music." And I was like, "I got to see who this is." You know, I mean, she's got to be 12, right? You know,
yeah.
And I look around, and no, she was a lady who looked at least mid-30s, who you would think knows that music. I mean, that genre of music is not unknown to the population at large, you know. And but no, she apparently had never been exposed to it before. And I'm on one hand, I'm glad she was older, because if she was younger, I would have thought, "Oh my gosh, we really are doomed." But
we're doomed.
Well, I know we're doomed, but we would be even more doomed if it was some, you know, 20 something that had never heard Little Richard. You know, it's like, how do you not hear or be exposed to that music? I mean, my generation bought as many Beatles records as my parents did. You know, we were into it. And if that's not, you know, passing off to the younger kids, then I don't know what to say. But no, this lady was old enough to where she should have known, and somehow didn't recognize the records that were being played. So that's my crazy.
Right. A little bit crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But I should find that Little Richard record. You keep on knocking, but you can't come in. That's a good one. So if we can go back to one of the stories that is left over from last week, it's an editorial from the Washington Post. Who is the author? The author is Theodore Johnson, and he doesn't like the Electoral College.
No.
The Electoral College is gearing up for the fall semester. An election that once promised a presidential rematch between Biden and Trump now features a fresh face in Vice President Kamala Harris. On Election Day, Americans will cast their votes, yada, yada, yada. Sometimes it's, he says here, the college determines the winner. Sometimes its decision is to bypass the people's choice and award the presidency to a candidate with fewer votes. That's occurred twice in the last six presidential elections, and it's not out of the question this year. It always seems that Democrats don't like the Electoral College when they lose. They don't mind having it when they win. And then it's always, the argument is, well, so-and-so won the popular vote, but they didn't win the electoral vote. And it's like, yeah, that's how the system works.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes on here, the college was originally advertised as a shield against a fickle public and the excesses of democracy. Its deliberations would be governed by honorable, judicious men who would avoid secrecy and plotting. Note the sarcasm. The institution would harbor a preference for low population states to ensure those in the minority have a strong voice. But today its design is antiquated, the math too old. The college has certainly seen its share of intrigue and corruption. So anyway, it's going to hurt the so-called black girls, so now they hate it.
Of course.
And depending on how stupid the Americans are, maybe it won't matter anyway. But so what say you guys? Should the electoral college be taken down?
Well, I mean... That's going to be the thing either way, right? It's
yeah.
Am I winning? Am I losing? If I'm winning, I love it. If you know,
it's right?
All, you know,
yeah. And that's how they've always. That's, you know, they like to point out the inconsistency between the electoral vote and the popular vote. But the thing is, yeah, we don't elect a president by popular vote. We have 50 separate elections that then determine, you know, the popular vote in the state. That candidate gets the electoral votes. Those electoral votes go to D.C. I mean, that's. That's the way we do it. We don't do popular vote for president, and there's a reason. And you just have to look at the Senate and the House to show that popular vote doesn't necessarily water the tree of liberty very often, because it's always the same old-timers that get in there and stay there for life.
So I've got something here that ties right in with that.
Mm-hmm.
All of our civil liberties, you know, Constitution, I mean, it's under attack,
mm-hmm.
because if it's not following the narrative,
right,
then let's change it.
Yep.
This is an article from the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution is sacred. Is it also dangerous?
Oh, I saw that headline. Yes. Didn't read the article, but I saw the headline.
It is frightening.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah. I mean, but it's not an old strategy, though. I mean, I remember back in high school, the argument was, is the Constitution set in stone, or is it, like they used to say, living and breathing, where you can reinterpret it different ways, which means you can make it say something that it doesn't say to promote your progressive agenda. And that was the thing. God, we just had my 20th reunion for high school, so that was a long time ago. So, yeah, so it's been a thing for a while now. But, yeah, that headline in particular was pretty bold.
Yeah.
Well, again, if it attacks our narrative,
mm-hmm.
it's not good.
Right.
That's yep. where, like I said, that's where things start getting yeah. really and, sideways. And, it's frightening.
And the most dangerous parts of the Constitution, never mind First and Second Amendment. I mean, you got the Fourth Amendment and several others that guarantee protections that nobody ever really talks about. And that's the stuff that they want kicked out because they want to be able to snoop unreasonably. They may even want a quarter troops in our homes.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I just, again, it just, it's, when a publication like the New York Times comes out with something like that.
Now, that's an editorial, right?
Yes.
Okay. Who wrote it?
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, okay. Should be at the top.
I'm looking at the bottom.
Okay. It doesn't matter. It's if you find it, great. Oh, if not.
Jennifer.
Talk into the microphone.
Jennifer Zala.
Oh, so a woman, huh?
Yeah.
It's always a woman. Yeah. All right. Although the other one here was a guy, so.
Where's my coffee?
Yeah. All right, so we got a few extra minutes. There is another piece from a few weeks ago that we've been sitting on, or I've been sitting on. Billionaires wanting to build a, quote, utopian city in California forced to back down.
That's near here, isn't it?
Yeah,
well, right?
Yeah. Not too far away, North Bay. A Silicon Valley-backed initiative to build a, quote, green city for up to 400,000 people on farmland in the San Francisco Bay has been put on hold in an embarrassing reversal. The city would have been built from scratch on land 60 miles north of San Francisco, which is currently rolling prairie. But the tech billionaires say the entire timeline, which would have seen the city up and running within 10 years, was unrealistic. The California Forever campaign was going to feature on this November's ballot, but a Solano County report released last week, of course many weeks ago now, raised questions about the project and concluded that despite the backing of billionaires, it may not be financially feasible. Quote, we need more affordable housing and good-paying jobs. That has merit, but the timing's been unrealistic. According to Mitch Mashburn, chair of the city's Board of Supervisors, he noted how without environmental review, the project was a mistake because they got to make sure there's no endangered bugs in that prairie.
Ringed.
Yeah.
Reptiles.
But, yeah, but I mean, here you have...
Tree frogs.
Here you have a group of billionaires that want to set up this thing, and
of course,
you know, what's the deal with that? Why are we building a utopian city somewhere, and whose utopia is it? And why does it sound like a concentration camp?
Well, were we going to assume that there was affordable housing in that?
Well, that is the assumption. Yeah, I'm sure it was on a plan. The ballot November would have asked voters to allow urban development on 27 square miles between Travis Air Base and the Sacramento River, River Delta City of Rio Vista. Yeah, it's I don't know. I've always I saw this as just a giant red flag. It's like it's not a traditional way of planning a city. It's a group of billionaires that want to have fun and do an experiment, it sounded like.
I wonder what the last new city was in California.
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so that's not happening. So it's, I mean, they'll probably bring it back in a few years, but it ain't happening anytime soon. Because we don't want billionaires in charge of city planning.
No.
I'm not totally against billionaires, but I kind of am, because they always turn out to be not so decent people.
Always?
Usually. They turn out to be James Bond villains. Anyway. All right, we are up on a break. Whoop, whoop. First break of this week's show. And I guess we'll be back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. I got the guys off mic here because they're discussing
stuff,
car loans and things that your microphone keeps. I'm sorry. It has a mind of its own.
There's something to be said there. You touched it and it went down.
Because you keep putting your grubby fingers on it.
Yeah, that was probably my fault. Yeah, so you might want to tighten it down a little more. But it keeps rotating away from your mouth. So when you try to talk, we can't hear half of what you're saying.
Get your grubby fingers off my mic.
Sorry. Jeez.
My virgin eyes.
I'm only trying to help. Well, I just had to rub the shaft, you know.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no.
That deserves.
Thank God, you know, this isn't televised.
That deserves a. There we go.
Yes, it does.
And a Y.
And well, you know.
Y-R.
Yeah, we'll bring those back some of the time. Someday. All right, let's get back to our stories here, because I really want to talk about this one. It's a California bill to require speed limit alarms in cars. On its way to Governor Newsom's desk, the California legislature passed a bill to require speed limit detectors and alarms be installed in new vehicles sold or leased in a bid to use the state's market size to regulate the national automobile industry. If signed by a haircut, SB 961, written by Scott Wiener in San Francisco, would require 2030 model year vehicles made, sold, or leased in California to elicit a visual and audio warning when a driver goes over 10 miles over the speed limit. The bill would not apply to vehicles that do not have a front-facing camera or GPS. Traffic fatalities, that's the reason, blah, blah, blah. The public health crisis.
He said Wiener.
You know.
That's pretty cool.
That's Scott Wiener is a terror. You know, he was awful when he was on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Yeah. Now he's in Sacramento. It's like, oh, my God, where do these people come from? So yeah, you're going to have another helper in your car. You know, you got the one helper who likes to tell you that, wait a minute, my wife always tells me when I go too fast. How is that different than a buzzer?
Now you have a secondary.
I got
helper,
a second right? helper.
Backup.
I got a little helper. I got two little helpers.
I told you, my Tesla truck is also another helper.
That's right.
It gives me a little ding when the light turns green.
Which means your other helper doesn't have to say the light is green. But she still does.
Yeah.
Of course.
Because old habits die hard and stuff like that.
Right.
So yeah, more government intrusion, and the haircut will probably sign it. And used car prices just went up again.
I wonder what Elon will do about that.
Frankly, I'm surprised Teslas don't already have some sort of an alarm just like that. But obviously yours doesn't right now.
No, actually they have you can set all that.
So you can choose to have
it. Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's my Model 3 had it as well.
Yeah.
It can give you alerts about, you know, but you can set how many miles over, under,
right.
Exact, see, fixed, whatever.
I don't mind having the choice to use something like that, but to have Big Brother install it for me, no. And they're trying to make this happen all over the country because if they can make it happen for California, the car makers got to put it in everything, so then automatically the rest of the country is subject to this as well. And just, you know, what a...
Yeah.
I'd have to look up the...
Pray for pushback.
The statute, that's, the bill, the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Teslas now make a noise when they're backing up.
Yes, my neighbor's Tesla does that. She has a model.
Makes some kind of.
She doesn't have the 3. She has the other one, but the one with the gullwing doors in the back, which.
X.
The X, okay. Yeah.
The the bigger one.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they have two kids, et cetera. But yeah, it makes a, we always know when she's leaving.
You know. And you can't really hear it from inside. At least I can't in my truck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it was like they fought that. It's like, you know, Elon has a silent, wonderful car, and let's put a noisemaker on.
Well, most cars are silent, other than the engine noise when they.
Well, yeah, but you.
Yeah.
When I was working at Tesla, in the parking lot, if you're not used to it, it's you gotta walk with your head up when you're in a street.
Yeah, well, most people
or a crosswalk.
You know,
you shouldn't be looking at your phone.
Yeah, it was
because the Tesla will run you over because it doesn't make any noise.
Yeah, it was my birthday last week, so my folks took my dad and his partner took me out to dinner, and yeah, we went to Santana Row in San Jose, a great Italian place called Margiano's, and. Yeah, as we're, you know, it's so crowded there, and everybody's on their phones, and you really have to be careful because they will just, indeed, walk in front of your car, completely oblivious, and even some of the ones without their phone were just as oblivious. And, yeah, it was a human obstacle course.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, especially places like that,
mm-hmm.
Pedestrians and people like that think, you know, just because there's a road there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Right?
Yeah.
Not a thing.
So, yes, indeed, pray for pushback because I have a feeling Newsom is going to sign that very quickly. Let's talk about not getting robbed or raped in San Francisco. You can go to an entertainment zone. San Francisco could have four new entertainment zones as early as December, which would expand the areas in which folks can enjoy alcoholic drinks from local restaurants and bars while roaming outdoor events and activities. Unspoken here, without getting robbed, beaten, or raped. On Tuesday, September 3rd, Mayor London Breed and Supervisor Matt Dorsey, in collaboration with the blah, 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 introduced legislation to create new zones, Mid-Market, Maiden Lane, and the alley between Mark Lane and Harlan Place, and Thrive City, just outside the home of the Golden State Warriors. It's exciting downtown momentum. We're just getting started.
Constantine Wire and...
You know,
15-foot fences. And
yeah, well, it's the only
guard
way.
Guard dogs, and then you'll be safe.
Yeah. It's the only way to keep people safe and to get them spending money in San Francisco because the city is just hurting for cash here.
Yep.
The concept authorized under SB 76, introduced by Scott Wiener. There's that name again. Which permits bars.
You said Wiener again.
Yeah, I know. Which permits bars. this permits bars, restaurants, wineries, and breweries to sell alcohol to go for consumption within the designated zones. So you can drink outside now.
Yeah, off sale license.
Yeah, yes.
These are in a fenced-in area.
Yeah, these are for special. I can't talk. Special events.
Special.
In an effort to spur social and economic development. Yeah, because everybody is staying away from San Francisco because they're going to get shot.
Yeah.
Like that footballer. What was his name? Pearsall? Pearsall, somebody wanted it in Union Square.
That was last week we talked about it.
Right.
Yeah. So, just got drafted. And
yeah, so then and then somebody sees, oh, hey, he's got a Rolex. I want to take it. And he fights and gets shot.
I heard that he wrestled the gun away and shot the other guy, too.
So I didn't hear that part.
I heard.
Wow.
Ooh.
I haven't researched it. I haven't looked. But that's what I heard.
Okay.
Interesting.
It's not impossible.
No.
Yeah.
Well, he is a football player, and the guy was 17 years old.
Right. So, but yeah, you're not even safe as a footballer in Union Square, which is the upscale shopping area in San Francisco. You should be relatively safe there, but you're not. So now we're just going to section off parts of the city, and that's where you can spend your money and do your partying. And it's like, why would you bother? There's other places to go.
Right.
Now, if you live in San Francisco, I can say, okay, well, who wants to cross the bay or go south? You know, but for people going in,
but you know,
it's
we were talking about it the other day. You know, Oakland used to be the sports mecca, as far as I'm concerned, of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you got the A's, the Raiders, the Warriors. They're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You got the Giants and the Warriors now across the bay.
Yeah.
You know, made these huge moves to what will likely soon become Detroit.
Right.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Oakland is I mean, come, who wants to live in Oakland? You can live in Phoenix or Oakland. We talked last week about how nobody should live in Phoenix because it's so hot.
Yeah.
Or in Oakland where you can just, you know, get shot. And I'd rather live where for 7 days or 7 weeks in a row, it's 110.
Yeah.
If it means I'm not going to get shot. Because no, I don't know any crook that wants to go out in 110 degree weather and rob somebody. You get sweaty. So it's like, I mean, it's much, much safer that way.
Yeah.
Nothing else from you two?
I'd say, no, unfortunately, bad this, crap happens.
Where's Scott? We need Scott here to talk a lot.
We do.
Yeah. And say stuff like, where's dad? You know, where's all dad? His usual catchphrases. Yeah. Without Scott, I'm carrying you two. And that's.
Sorry, I've been putting on some weight.
I can tell.
Is your back hurting?
Back, shoulders, yeah. Neck.
I was looking at this Pearsall, trying to see what actually happened.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Of course, they don't say.
No, they don't say.
Yeah.
It's.
Well, I'd like to think he wrestled the gun away and shot the other guy because, I mean, they both wound up in the. He did something to hurt the kid and didn't hurt him hard enough, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
Just find it odd that they don't, they're not transparent about that.
Mm-hmm.
Missed 3 weeks of practice.
Yeah, he's going to be out a couple games.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, doesn't say anything. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Love the media. Let's go news.
Mm-hmm. That's it. What else can we... farm out here from let's talk about mental health. Yeah. So the headline: young adults are in a mental health crisis. Why is little being done? Young adults are more vulnerable than ever. Young adulthood could be a quote great time of growth and possibility. Still, many young adults say they feel on edge, lonely, directionless, and that they worry about financial security. A 2023 study found that 36% of people from 18 to 25 reported experiencing anxiety and 29% reported experiencing depression, about twice as many compared to the 14 to 17-year-olds asked both questions. I don't know. Being anxious about money and stuff when you're 18 to 25, I suppose, is normal.
Yeah, it's called life.
Yeah, because you're just out of, well, in my case, you're just out of college, not making a lot of money, and suddenly you're expected to fend for yourself. So yeah, that was a little, I wasn't anxious about it, but it certainly wasn't easy.
Yeah.
Quote, many are achieving to achieve and find little meaning in either school or work, according to one of the researchers. Nearly 60% of the cohort reported lacking meaning or purpose in their lives during the previous month, while half of them said their mental state was negatively influenced by not knowing what to do with my life. Now, whose fault is that?
Well, hold on. No, stop. What's changed?
Lack of good parents?
Okay. No, but I'm saying the reality of those things, mm-hmm. as you're growing up, as you're transitioning from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, yeah. the season of your life.
Right.
What's changed?
Nothing.
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 I mean, I'll tell you.
Nothing has changed, but something has changed.
Yeah.
Right, this is all the stuff that you've had to deal with in any era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you transition out of your parents' house. Yeah, you have all these responsibilities. It creates a certain amount of whatever, anxiety, angst, this, that, the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's never changed. It's never going to change. What has changed?
They aren't taught how to cope with it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
The youth, the young people today, there's no real adversity,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Yeah,
we just clear the road for them.
Right,
our parents did not clear the. Yeah, sounds like you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're on a baseball team, a football team, a soccer team, whatever. Oh, coach is being mean to me. Will you go talk to him? You know, my dad would have told me if I said that to him.
F off.
Are you kidding me?
Rub some dirt on it.
You know, and I'm a coach, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I constantly have parents, you know, I need to talk to you about Johnny. No.
You don't.
No, I don't want to talk to you about Johnny. Have Johnny come talk to me.
Yeah.
And then when that does occur, I cannot remember the last time that we did not solve the problem.
Right.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Mm-hmm. Here's my expectations of you. Here's what you can expect from me. Here's how it works. Do you understand? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. And away we go. And if that kid has any kind of gumption at all, it's squared away.
Yeah. 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 Well, I understand that. But on the other hand, you know, I'm pushing 50 and I still have no idea what I want to do with my life. So, you know. I just have more money now than I did when I was 25. You know.
But I mean, again, I think that we are trying to coddle this generation to the point of hamstringing them, of just their have no clue how to exist.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah,
I participation awards.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it started with that. It absolutely started with,
everybody's a wiener.
You know, it's
everybody's a wiener? Is that what you said?
No. He said wiener.
Yeah, again. Okay. All right. Hold that thought. We got to take a break because we're already over. So next one's got to be short. Back after this.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know?
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
Don't worry, I'll fix it in editing.
Nice.
You say that always.
I know. See, and no one's going to know what I had to fix.
A tasty riff there.
That's right. Dragon Scott with Ziggy and Coach, Radioslot.com, back with our third segment, and we were talking about weak sauce kids that have no coping skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I interrupted your thought, Coach. Do you remember where you left off?
Oh, are you kidding me? Have you seen me?
Okay, just closer to the microphone, please.
You know, you just need don't to touch get the shaft, me, man.
Well, I can't. We can't hear you. I'm gonna talk you up a little bit.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
That'll make it easier.
That's right.
I mean, you can fix that on the board,
I guess. Yeah. But yeah, if you're too far away, it's the mic. Right. That's not a sensitive microphone.
So. All right. No.
And I see your hands are on the shaft.
Now you're talking about my mic's feelings.
Oh no.
No, it's not
sensitive.
It's not a sensitive microphone, and that it doesn't pick up everything that's not directly in front of it.
I got that.
Why are you winking? Don't wink at me while you're driving your shaft. What is this?
Am I making you uncomfortable?
You are. You know, and if Scott was if Scott was here right now, he'd be all over. You know. Telling us to abort, and stop doing that. see what happens when you're away, Scott. We get away with things. All right. So please to continue.
Where's
your point.
Dad?
Yeah.
Where's
Dad? Well, Dad's not here, and the kids are in charge. Anyway, please to continue your point.
No, I just again, this is something I deal with all the time, and I think it's rampant. And I think the fact that. Yeah, these kids, I mean, I don't remember growing up how many of my friends, young people, were actually seeing a therapist or that needed to.
Right.
You had friends and family and parents and you know, it's, I always am a little bit reticent to talk about bootstraps, right? Because that was a thing.
Yeah,
I know.
And it's a punchline now.
No, but it was a thing,
yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, I mean, my dad had that conversation with me many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, build a bridge, get over it, move on, grab your bootstraps. Yeah, nobody's, you know, rub some dirt on it.
Yep.
And we've gotten, you know, now maybe in my era, in my father's era, it was too much. Maybe. But I know we have swung. That pendulum has gone so far the other way.
Well, it's
that we have now gotten to the point where these kids are not prepared.
Right.
And our fault.
Well, and the article goes on to mention something exactly like that. Generation Z's young adults have had a rough, hard launch into adulthood.
Geez.
Many of them, quote, launched a career or entered college amid a pandemic and turbulent economy. And now they're facing, quote, high housing prices, a lack of connection in the workplace, world disasters, misinformation, That's from the Washington Post. The Atlantic says young adults are more vulnerable than ever, but much of American society doesn't see them that way because, well, yeah, we're the ones who grew up. The parents of these kids are the ones who grew up having to fend for themselves and manage to adapt to that. And
yeah. And then went the way other way with
that. Well, kids. Yeah. And the elephant in the room here is that these are the kids of Generation X, and those of us, you know, the latchkey kids, the wake me up when it's over kids, yep. You know, somehow we're responsible, partly responsible for this, and no one wants to talk about that. But anyway, yeah, there you go. There it is in writing that kids are just having such a hard time. It's so sad.
I think kids have it easier than they've ever, ever had it in the history of the world.
And that's probably part of the problem.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly the problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, they get everything handed to them on a silver platter.
And part of that was, I mean, part of the reason the boomers kind of grew up the way they were, you know, is that their parents had the same idea. Their depression parents were like, we're going to make sure the kids have what we didn't.
Yeah.
And then we get the boomers. And now Gen X is like, well, our parents weren't involved, so we're going to try and be involved. And being more involved has led to this stunted growth of Gen Z.
Well,
helicopter. Yeah.
Involved in quotation marks, I guess. It depends on what that means. You know, being absent is one thing, but yeah.
But is it really a mental health crisis, or do they just need to grow up?
It's got to be both.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, it's got to be
build
both.
A bridge. Get over it.
Yep. Well, I like that. Build a bridge and get over it. I've never heard that before.
My dad used to say it to me all the
time. Okay. Yep.
Build a bridge and get over it. Yeah, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
You got bigger and better fish to fry.
That's that's
you're right. Worried about this, and how's your schoolwork? Yeah, what, and how's
what if I don't like fish?
Well, get over it.
Okay.
Build a bridge. Build a bridge.
All right, let's do our other Gen Z story. Young people taking over the workplace, and that's a problem for bosses. Gen Z workers are expected to outnumber boomers in the U.S. workforce this year, if only their bosses could understand them. Companies find their youngest employees the most difficult to work with, according to surveys. Executives are making efforts to engage them more. They're arranging mentorship for employees who entered the workforce remotely during the pandemic, giving guidance, etc.
Oh, my goodness. I was a single parent.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, none of my bosses ever wanted to understand me.
Yeah.
And if I'd ever complained that my boss didn't understand me, he would have sent me down the road to the,
right.
You know, go find somebody that'll understand you.
Yeah. So at some sort of conference in Palo Alto a few weeks ago, one of the presenters said that the younger generation wants meaning, mentorship, and a sense of purpose. The message didn't go over well with everyone in the room. One board member in attendance asked why any of those things should be a company's responsibility. So,
well, what do you think about that?
I don't know. It's you know, the only thing I cared about with any of my jobs, I didn't want a sense of purpose or mentorship. I wanted a check so that I could.
Oh, yeah. You wanted
myself.
To pay your rent.
Yeah.
Well, oh my goodness. And, seriously?
I wanted to go and do.
Eat.
Yeah,
food.
And I wanted to use that money to go and do other things.
Yep.
That's all the job was supposed to handle. I mean, if I liked being there, that was a plus. Usually I didn't.
Well,
and
this goes right back to what we were saying. You owe me something.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
Yeah, yeah. You. I mean, we used to.
We have a contract. You do this.
Yep.
I give you this. You do it well, mm-hmm. and I give you this.
Yeah.
We do this on a weekly basis, however your contract is written,
mm-hmm.
and that's the contract.
Right.
Not, I'm going to take care of your emotional needs.
Yeah,
I'm a business. My job as a business is to make money.
Right.
And I'm not going to apologize about that.
Mm-hmm. You shouldn't. Right.
But they're asking us to.
Right, I know. And it's like, if you want a sense of purpose, didn't companies, is this still a thing where they had the mission statement that's like, we will reach for the stars and blah, blah, blah. It's like, shouldn't that be enough to motivate you? I always thought that stuff was ridiculous. You know, it's like, F your mission statement, just, you know.
Well,
I'm going to show
depends
up on
if you're drinking the Kool-Aid or not.
I guess, yeah.
And, you know, again, whether or not you're drinking the Kool-Aid might have to do with where you are in the company, how high up you are in the company,
mm-hmm.
what your opportunities are, all of that. It's great fodder. Yeah. Motivate people, and people are motivated by what?
Money.
Yeah.
Well, usually. Yep. Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah. Now they want to save the world.
Do they?
One feeling well,
they,
at
no,
a
they
time.
Want to, no, no, I don't, they, I don't they believe want, they want to save the world.
They want meaning and a sense of purpose.
They want to save their world.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about me. It's, you know, it's like that was never the way it was. You were on a team. You had your role within that team, and you were expected to perform that role. And if you didn't perform that role, mm-hmm. you were fired, and they got somebody else to perform your role.
Mm-hmm. The nice thing about this, though, is that if these kids are a problem, it's, I mean, it's just job security for the rest of us. You know, it's like, well, you know, Brian's getting a little expensive, but the options to replace him are even worse. So let's leave him alone.
Again, I'm in the kind of construction industry and was a contractor for years and years and years. But and now I have, I don't know, a couple hundred customers that are contractors. And that's one of the number one things that they lament on a daily basis is the raw material.
Right.
You get a guy, he's not trained or this or that. Right now, if you can show up with a decent attitude every day, work hard, you're gold.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, they it's like they can't even, and this is somebody that knows nothing about the industry, has zero training, zero information. You're hired.
Yeah, right.
And at a wage that's not way more than, even proportionally way more than I was ever hired for. And it's now we're going to train you.
Yeah, but that, I mean, the wage might be higher, but the money doesn't go as far.
No. Yes. I said proportionally more than I ever made.
Oh, okay.
Proportionally way more than I ever made.
I understand. Yeah.
As a trained person.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm talking about these are employers.
We're running out of time. But yeah, finish your thought. Yeah.
That are looking for workers and they can't find it. They can't even find the raw material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
It's like, do you know anybody? It's like
you can make more money without a college degree than with one right now. But yeah, but everybody's stuck on going to college. So not me. I didn't finish. So. I did 2 years
I've heard that about you.
Yeah.
You have
Oh my gosh.
You have a hard time finishing?
Okay. Oh, where's Scott when we need him? Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach, Radioslot.com. Back after this with our final segment. And someone's going to have to do Scott's third tee today. You got Coach's corner. I'll do the third tee. How about that?
He said wiener again.
That's back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com.
You litter.
Ziggy was, you weren't exactly singing this song. You were just kind of muttering it or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's like, yeah, I had to go get it. This from Ferris Bueller, and there was another movie. Michael J. Fox was in it. Something Success. I can't remember which one it was.
But. I kind of want to go get a Twix now.
What does Twix have to do with this?
This used to be on their commercials
for a long
time.
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go.
Okay. It's Yellow from Oh Yeah on Radioslot.com. Back with our final segment. We're going into Coach's Corner, and then I have Scott's third tee for us today. Whoops. So,
yeah, I think this ties in with everything. This is from Vince Lombardi, former Green Bay Packers.
I think he's
head
muted.
Coach. I'm sorry?
There you go. Start that over?
No, he's everything recorded. I'm sorry for the interruption. I hit a button I shouldn't hit. But you're
see,
fine.
Look at you, buddy.
I just couldn't.
I know. It was, well, because I got distracted. I thought it was my wiener.
He said wiener again.
So go ahead and go ahead and restart. I'll fix it in post. It's fine.
So this, you keep saying that. I don't know. I don't believe that you ever do that.
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's true.
It's fun to say.
Today's Coach's Corner comes to you from Vince Lombardi, former Green Bay Packers head coach, one of the greats. But it ties in with what we're saying, what we've been talking about all day today. It's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up.
Yep.
And, you know, we've been talking the whole segment about just these kids don't get knocked down. So they never learn.
To get back up.
Get back up. Yeah. And I think that's
just learn to win.
Very apropos for today.
Yeah, and that's a good segue into Scotch 3rd Tea, which today is testing. I mean testing what you're taught, what you think. Is this really true? Should I really be, you know, is it really the way it is? I mean, you know, these articles here say that the kids today have all these problems and all these hardships. It's like, well, do you really? How do people, you know, can you sort out that other people made it okay, and then how can I do what they do? You know, test what you're taught, test what you're told, test what you're programmed to think.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that is programming. And be a rebel. Throw off, you know, throw off the matrix. Or just be stupid. I mean, it's just easier to be stupid, you know.
Living in the matrix, for sure.
Yeah. What did you say one time, Ziggy? Idiocracy was not meant to be a
documentary.
Documentary? Yeah.
Yeah. But
all right.
Every day it's getting closer and closer.
Mm-hmm. Ziggy, any final thoughts from you?
A little excessive on the wiener today.
That's what she said.
He said,
how can you not? You had to know I was going there.
He said wiener again.
Oh, Scott, we need you. Where are you when we need you? Come back, Scott. The show's not to say without you, Scott. Hurry back.
Hurry back. He'll listen to this one and join us next week.
Oh yeah. He's like, he's got a wedding to go to. He's not, but he might. You know, it's like I interrupted the wedding to come back and save you people. All right.
We need saving. For sure.
That's right.
Said weenie again.
Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach, Radioslot.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you next week. And it's time for our weekly tradition, I guess we can call it.
Yeah.
Where we tell
good to each other.
We tell Mary to throw her hat in the air.
You're gonna make it after all.
Meow.